so like when I was, when I stepped away, that's when I started like looking back and like, wow, we did a lot of big things during that time, or during that time frame. And which I think that's anybody. I think it's easier to look back when you're not in it. And when you're in it, it's kind of like you're in the middle of trying to do something. So it's hard to appreciate it and still be doing it at the same time.
Definitely. Yeah, I know that for me, as far back as I can remember, it was to the point where I just expected you guys to win every year. Like, girls,
right.
Like, on the boys' side, who's going to win? So we right. already had the girls' category.
Nah, absolutely.
Okay, so we're in the presence of greatness today. We are here with three-time state champion, three-time Coach of the Year award winner, the legendary coach, Corey Irvin. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Doing good. Great. I'm just happy to have you on the show today, man.
Thank you for coming on. So we usually start off by asking our guests, you know, who put the ball in your hands and where did your love for the game come from?
My dad put the ball in my hands for sure. And I think my original love of the game came from just trying to figure out what to do with the ball. But then as I've gotten older, my love for the game is just because the game gives me peace. Mm. And always has. I was always able to get away from everything and go play. I think that's really been what my love of the game has been dependent on. It just being my place of serenity.
Gotcha. And so you've of course had a successful career as a coach for some time now, but you also had a successful career as a player, you know, finishing, you know, on Fresno State's all-time field goal list, ninth in rebounds and fifth in block shots. Can you speak a bit more about, you know, what your time as a student athlete was like?
I played a long time ago. My body knows how long ago it's been. Maybe not in years, it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it was a long time ago. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think that I think sports are important in general. I think that they teach things that nothing else that we do teaches, characteristic wise. And in college, what I really liked was that basketball gave me so many other opportunities. Mm. And going to college, I loved the basketball part, but I also just loved the fact that I was able to see places in the country I never would have seen.
Definitely.
Go places, be around my teammates, and just have experiences that if I would have just been a college student, I never would have had. But from a college basketball standpoint, I mean, I just really liked the competition. And mm-hmm. just being able to kind of have something to do all the time. And just, I got to a point where I was just trying to prove stuff to myself more so than the other people.
Mm. It seems like that's like a mark of greatness, you know, like Kobe, like that's one thing that he would talk about, like him wanting to prove it to himself more so than, you know, of course it's competition. You have a competitor, you're a competitor, mm-hmm. but it's more so like trying to best yourself and trying to, you know, prove to yourself like you're at this level and you're the greatest ever and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that was just interesting.
No, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the recruitment process. You know, you had the opportunity to coach both in high school and at the college level now. So, in your opinion, like what should athletes be looking for, you know, in the program?
So I think from a player standpoint, the number one thing for me is how involved is the head coach in the process? And I think that head coaches are busy, but I think they make time for what they want to make time for and for people they want to make time for. And I see a lot of players go to schools that have these great relationships with the assistant coaches, which is good. But, you know, sometimes game time situations and some of that stuff, you got to know the head coach, and the head coach has to know you. And that relationship gets kind of slipped through the recruiting process a lot. And I think that's an important part of the recruiting process is how well do you know the head coach? Mm. You know, how committed is the head coach to being at that school? Is their contract up? You know, some of those questions that we don't think of as players and parents, but that high school coaches and AU coaches are sometimes thinking of, are they in year three of a 5-year contract and they're not winning, which might mean they might not even be there,
right,
you know, for your entire time for sure. So I think that's an important part. The other thing that I did when I was playing, and even the main thing I would tell our players is you've got to watch the teams play, mm-hmm, because most schools play a system, you know, or they play a certain style. And if you're not watching them, you don't even know if you fit into that style. Like sometimes players get like, oh, I want to go to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, I'm just going to say Kentucky. And they've come from a system that doesn't run, you know, that's not in transition, and they're running 50 sets every time. Well, that's not Kentucky.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't think a lot of players in, or their parents do enough research on how that team actually plays to know, can you even fit into what they're doing? You know, mm-hmm, are you like anybody on that team? Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes I think that that gets lost in just the names. And I would say probably the third thing for me is, you know, when people go on visits, you visit, a lot of the visits are say during the football weekend, mm-hmm, you know, they'll bring people in and like a, you know, Ohio State, Michigan football game. Well, football only plays eight games,
right?
You know, we're only talking about 4 or 5 weekends out of 52 weeks, mm-hmm, you know? So I think it's better to go when that stuff isn't going on. So
point.
You have a better idea of what is my day to day life going to be, because that's going to be your life many more weekends than going to the best football game that's going to have the best people. And right, those things I think are things that we just overlook because we get so excited about the process.
Yeah.
But those are like day-to-day things. And yeah, when you get to college, it's the day-to-day things that make or break you. You know, yeah, those little things that make you stay or make you want to leave.
Yeah. I think you brought up a great point just now about the whole football game and stuff, because on my visit, we played Western Michigan. I played Michigan State, and I was like, yeah, at Western Michigan. So that was like a crazy experience, and mm-hmm, we never had, you know, another moment like that ever again. So like that, right, that's a great point.
Yeah, I actually went, Amanda Thompson, who played for me in 2006, she went to Oklahoma, and I went with her on her visit, and Oklahoma was playing, might have been Texas, I don't know, but it was like 80,000 people at the football game, and we were on the field. And when we walked in the stadium, I told her, well, if I played football, I would be, it wouldn't even be a question, but you right, play basketball, so you need to.
Are any of you thinking of starting a podcast? If so, you should definitely look into using Anchor. For starters, it's free. It's also creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more. You can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need for a podcast in one place. So go ahead and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's get back to the show.
You need to finish the visit. But right, I was like, if I play football, oh yeah, it wouldn't even be a question if I go here or not.
Right. Yeah. So how did you get into coaching? Like, was that something that, you know, you always thought about doing or wanted to do?
No, I always wanted to teach. So I always wanted to work with education, and I always wanted to work with kids. But when I was done playing and I kind of stepped away from the game some, that was when I started missing basketball, and my dad had suggested I get into coaching because I started missing the game.
Gotcha. And do you have any, I guess, advice for young athletes or anyone or young students that want to get into coaching or want to pursue a career in coaching?
I mean, I think that if you're going to start coaching, it's good to just get experiences at different levels.
Gotcha.
Like sometimes, you know, just with anything, we always want to be the top, mm-hmm, you know, like we want to get to the top first. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking like, maybe I need to go try to get an assistant job at this college and not looking at like just different coaching experiences, like maybe helping an AAU team mm-hmm out for free for the summer to see, do you even like coaching kids? Like, can you even deal with all the different aspects of it, or going and volunteering at like a school, NAIA school, or being a grad assistant, or being a manager if you're not playing on a team, and being a manager at that school, just kind of those foundational coaching things to even see if it's really what you want to do. Because I think sometimes people want to coach, but then when you start thinking of all the other things that go into it, you know, just having different experiences in that, I think is helpful. We try to like have girls come and help our AAU team, because that gives them an idea, like, can you deal with kids and parents and traveling and being in the gym all day? Because if you can't deal with that, then you can't coach. Yeah.
And there's also so many other things that go into it. Before I got to college, I was kind of, you know, I thought about coaching. You know, it was an idea, but after my 4 years, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to handle all of this.
But I mean, I could see you coaching, Bryce, because like you were always a good leader. So I mean, maybe that'd be something you transition into later on, man.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
So, all right, let's transition into, you know, your time at Whitney Young. I mean, you dominated the public league with a record of 449 wins and I think 77 losses, three state titles, like 12 city championships, something, yeah, right? So. And three-time, you know, coach of the year. Like, that's crazy. And I believe, you know, that you set the culture, you know, at Whitney Young for both men and women, you know, both sports.
Definitely.
So yeah, that's just crazy.
crazy resume. Were you even able to enjoy, you know, those successes at the time, or has there been something that you, now that you're away from it and you get a chance to reflect, you might appreciate a bit more now?
I appreciate it more now. I would say I didn't enjoy it during the time. I mean, I didn't really think about it that much during the time. It was just about trying to, I don't want to say set the standard, but trying to be the best in the city, mm-hmm. was kind of my mentality all the time. And so unless someone like came back and was like, dang, how many city championships in the row do you guys have? It never really like fazed me or didn't really think about it. So like when I stepped away, that's when I started like looking back and like, wow, we did a lot of big things during that time. Or during that time frame, and which I think that's anybody. I think it's easier to look back when you're not in it, and when you're in it, it's kind of like you're in the middle of trying to do something, so it's hard to appreciate it and still be doing it at the same time.
Definitely, yeah. I know that for me, it, as far back as I can remember, it was to the point where I just expected you guys to win every year, like girls,
right?
like on the boys' side, who's gonna win? So we right. already had the girls category.
Nah, absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, the process of you even, you know, getting that head coaching position at Whitney Young. Like, what was that like?
So I was actually assistant at DePaul at the time, and the coach that was at Whitney Young was retiring. And it was a long process because CPS has like all these, like you post a job, you got to wait so many days and everything. So from the time that I originally applied for the job and had my interview, it was like 3 months. And I didn't even know, like, I thought the job had been filled, but, Tracy Dildy, who's the assistant at University of Detroit, mm-hmm. was a coach, the men's assistant at DePaul. Mm-hmm. And so he knew some people, and he was the one that was like, okay, just be patient. It's going to take a while. But even still, I didn't think it was going to take as long as it took. It was a long time, a long period, between, like I said, when I applied and interviewed, mm-hmm. And when I went in for the interview, Dr. Kenner had said she really wanted to hire a female, and there were only, I think, two females that applied. So I was like, well, maybe I have a chance. I don't know if I have a chance. But the very next day after my interview, they called and offered me the job. So I took the job, and I didn't even know what I was going to be doing in the school. Mm-hmm. Like, she just said she wanted the coach to be in the school, and I was going to have to do Coach Penny's job. I didn't even know what that was, but I accepted the job. And then in September, found out I was going to be a deaf and hard of hearing PE teacher, because that's what he was. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I did. Like, I just took his took his teaching job too. And I didn't know anything about sign language. I had to learn like all the stuff on the fly just so that I could coach there. But I didn't care, because I wanted to coach there, right. So bad. So
that's
how it started.
Okay. And out of all of the championships you won, you know, was there one that maybe felt like better than all of them?
So I think the first time is always special, mm-hmm. anytime. But I would have to say 2012, we went undefeated that year. And what was special about that year was you never would have known we were undefeated. Mm. Like, you, every day we walked in the gym, like every day after we had a game and we had practice, you never would have known that we were beating teams like we were. And we were beating teams by a lot of points. You know what I mean? And there was never a feeling with that team like we had accomplished anything until the end of the year. So I would say probably that year, because we had a lot of obstacles off the court. And I really felt like the players were never satisfied. Mm. And it wasn't until after the city championship, we always have a practice. Like I used to end like city ended, and then we would get ready for state. So it'd be like a whole new season for me. So when we were at practice after the city championship, I was given my normal like pre-practice speech. And I realized that day was when I realized we were undefeated. And so when I was giving my typical speech, I was like, well, we're either going to go something in one or we're going to go something in zero. Like we were at a point where it was like, we're either going to go undefeated or we're going to have one loss. And one of the players was like, nah, coach, we only have one option. Yeah. We're not going to loss. Yeah. And I was like, but that was like the first day that it was even discussed amongst the team that we could go undefeated. So I'd probably say that probably was the most special one.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's go the entire crazy. Season without losing. Who were some of the players from that team?
That team had five seniors. Four went on to play in college. So Janae Thompson went to Kentucky.
Yep.
Alexis Lloyd went to Virginia Tech and USC. Lene was on that team, Lene Harper, but she was a junior. Yeah. And we had another senior, Tessa Haldas, that went to Northwestern. And then there were, like, younger players.
Yeah.
So Kyla Hilsman that went to Texas A&M. We had a lot of players, which was odd because that was probably one of the years we were – picked to not finish, to not win.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We were picked to not win it, and they were very the girls took that to heart for sure.
I remember Mac bringing Janae up to Morgan Park all the time, and man, yeah. I mean she was tough, man. She was tough. Alea, of course. Yeah. So, how hard was it, you know, leaving Whitney Young? You know, you won so many championships, and then I mean, without a doubt, you know, you were one of the best coaches ever. You know, to coach in Chicago, public school league. So how hard was that?
It was hard because I part of me wanted to see if I could beat Dorothy Gator's record, which I think if I would have stayed, I mean, I just don't know if I was going to put in that amount of years. And then part of me felt like I was just getting comfortable. You know what I mean? And I started kind of feeling like, could I do more? Could I push myself more? Kind of in the same way I tell my players to push themselves. Like, is, you know, could I go to another level? And it was hard because I do like the high school age level.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that when players come into high school, they still got to learn so much. So you're really, really teaching the game. And in college, it's a little bit more focused on certain things. And not that you put players in boxes in college, but you're not building their box in college. You know what I mean? They're coming already with the skill set, and you're trying to figure out how to use it. But in high school, you're helping them get that whole skill set. So it's a little bit different. But I really felt like I needed a different challenge. You know, I felt like I could have done more at Whitney Young, but I just felt like.
All right, so election day is coming soon. And even though this is a presidential election, there are many more candidates on the ballot besides the president. And not only do we want you all to get out there and vote, but we also want you to know who you're voting for.
Go to Ballot Ready for a nonpartisan guide to your entire ballot. From there, you can compare candidates based on stances on issues, biography, or endorsements. And then save your choices to use when you vote by mail or in the voting booth. You can even request your absentee ballot or make a plan to vote early on election day.
As you all know, this election matters. Make sure that you have a plan to vote and vote informed.
Like I needed personally like another challenge, and I was ready for a different type challenge.
I love that.
Wow.
Continuing to challenge yourself and push the envelope for yourself. That's, you know, I love that. What has been the, I guess you sort of talked about this a bit, but what has been the biggest adjustment for you transitioning from coaching high school basketball to college?
I have more time, honestly, because I was so busy with my school position at Whitney Young. It took up a lot of time. So I would say that just having the more time to really focus on basketball has been the biggest adjustment, which I like, for sure. But it's definitely a different. It's different for me. It's different for my family. For me to have, like, you know, a different set of time that I'm using in a different way. So I would say that's probably been the biggest adjustment, and kind of the age level of the players. Like, I have to worry about different things than I had to worry about in high school. So that's probably been the biggest adjustment.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, and in your first year, you know, you led them to 29-4 record, right? And the conference title, you know, what was that experience like?
It was fun. I mean, I think we lost a couple games that I felt maybe we were a little bit more confident. We probably could have won. But the experience was interesting and different, because it's always different when you're taking a group of kids that you didn't recruit. You know what I mean? And I'm meeting them at the first time, and they're meeting me at the first time, and we're trying to kind of develop that relationship off the court and on the court at the same time.
Right.
And I really felt like this team was so open. They were so open, and we did a lot of stuff that was different from what they were used to doing. And I was nervous at first about if they were going to be like open to that. Cause you know, sometimes when you have new coaches and everything is different, it's like, whatever, you know, players check out, but they were open the entire year. I mean, they were open to things being different, and they had ideas, and they took my ideas. And so I felt like that was kind of fun and interesting for sure. And it helped me grow, and it helped them grow too. Cause I thought we had like a good open communication where we could talk about different things that were going on and how things were different, and still trying to make them better for both me and them.
That didn't even occur to me that wasn't your, you know, first recruiting class. So not only was it your first year coaching, you know, at the college level, but you also, you know, had to make that adjustment. I don't know if you want to give away, you know, the secret sauce. Is there a recipe for winning? And if so, what is it?
I think I do think there is. Like, I think that I don't think people win for extended period of times by accident. I think that you can win one season. You know what I mean? Or I think you can win a couple games, but I don't think that you can withstand winning for a long period of times without certain things. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I think those things are, but I'll tell you, I think that they're based off one. The most important thing to me is just trying to be as honest as you can be in the program. And I think for me, a lot has been on just being able to communicate at different levels. So with my coaches and with the players, and understanding that we might not always be right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that you can win all like on a continual basis as the coaches if you think you don't have to listen to your players. You know what I mean? I'm not saying we have to do everything our players say, but I do think that there has to be some give and take, because I'm not playing. And it's one thing I always tell my players is I'm not playing. I'm not picking up the ball. I'm going to try to guide you guys in these situations. So I do feel that one recipe is just being able to not get defensive when your players have input too, and when your players have ideas too. And I think that's important. And I would say probably the biggest thing is just being as genuine as possible. So I'm a family oriented person. So my programs are always going to be like, have a sense of family, because my family has to be involved. You know what I mean? I think sometimes it might be different if it's a male coach, you know, cause a lot of times men can go do their things, and let's say the wife is at home with the kids, but I have to take, you know, I have to bring my family where we're going. So my family is going to be wherever we are. And so my programs are always going to be family oriented. And I feel that that has a lot to do with our success, because I think it helps one, bring players back. And two, it just shows our players that like it's bigger than basketball, because it's always bigger than basketball for me. So I probably say those are the ones I'll tell you are the secrets.
Speaking from a player's perspective, that means a lot. This past season, absolutely, I had the opportunity to, you know, play under Coach Fisher, and I knew without a doubt, even if it had nothing to do with basketball, he cared about me as a person. You know, he would check in and things like that. And that just made me want to play harder for him. And our team chemistry was just like different. It was a huge difference from, you know, prior teams that I've been on. So that's definitely part of it.
Yeah. And Bryce, like, to piggyback off what you said, like, I mean, players, like, if they know a coach, you know, cares about them genuinely and want what's best for them, I feel like they'll do anything for the coach. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just from my experience playing under Nick too, like, you know, I knew he wanted what was best for me. So it just motivated me even more, you know? So that's a great point.
So now that you're, you know, at the coaching level, for the high school students that are listening, what are you looking for as a coach and a recruit?
So the first things I look for are not even basketball skills. You know, I look for players that I think are tough mentally. Mm-hmm. And I can see that a lot with how they play or where they're playing. And to me, that's a big thing. Just their toughness. Sometimes I tell people I need kids that have a story, that have something, you know, something going on in their life that they've had to overcome, or even family stuff, you know, just something that shows me that they already have some of that persistence in them. And then I'm watching attitude. Are they diving on the ground? Are they going after loose balls? Are they sprinting back? The little things, are they looking at their coach in the huddle? Or are they over there drinking water when the team is huddling up? Mm-hmm. You know, like little things like that I'm looking for. Because right now, even I watch film because we can't be at games. So I'm watching the games live online. And it's so interesting to me how many timeouts there are in players that are on the court are not even in the circle. And the coaches, you know, they don't even know because they're still talking. And they're like, you know, not paying attention to the circle, not, you know, not doing this. They're just kind of on their own thing, which I didn't really start realizing it till now when I have nothing else to do but watch it through the cameras. Mm-hmm. But I do pay attention to all of that because I think attitude is something that is a lot harder to control once they get on campus.
Yes.
You know, I have enough confidence to know I like basketball wise, I'm watching, can they score, all kind of different things. But I know that from a basketball standpoint, there's certain things that I can get a player better at. It's so much harder to get an attitude different, you know, to work with someone's attitude and make them competitive if they've never had to be competitive. So I would say that though, you know, for me, I'm really watching their competitive level. Are they going, if it's a rebound, are they actually going for the rebound? Or are they the ones getting thrown off the ball? I want the one that still has the ball after the jump ball is over.
Yeah. Before we go, you know, is there a mantra or quote, you know, that you live by?
Yeah, I love quotes, so I have a lot of them, like all over the place. But I would say the probably the one thing I live by is to just value every moment. You know, I really think our life is short, and I think our moments are shorter. And so I really just try to take advantage of my time and my moments and kind of just cherish all those little things, because I know it's, you know, we're not going to have them forever. So I would say if it were to be one set quote, I don't know, I have so many. But my basic mantra, it all boils down to, you know, just enjoying your moments and taking advantage of your moments.
Gotcha. Thank you for joining. This was great. Tell Mac and the rest of the family I said hi.
I will. I'm surprised they haven't bothered me.
I mean, thank you, Corey, so much. You know, just the mentality that you had, you know, with coaching and everything is just crazy, man. It's amazing. And, you know, my mom is a big fan, so she's going to love this one.
I appreciate you guys thinking about me and having me on.
And good luck this season. I don't know.
Thank you. If we have a season,
exactly.
If we don't have a season, we'll have practice. So we still gotta get better.
Right.